And I'm going to briefly do some review here to kind of hit the highlights of what we covered last week. We started out by saying Romans 8:21, there is therefore now no condemnation. There are three stings here. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. So there is no condemnation. You should be walking according to the law of the Spirit of life and not the law of sin and death. If you are experiencing condemnation in any kind of way, in any area, for anything, then you're walking according to the law of sin and death, and you're walking out of your flesh. Now, did you hear that? I don't think I said that last night. Devils and demons are the masters of condemnation. The biggest mistake that we make is we replace God's grace with our works. We rather go to church. We rather go to, we rather volunteer. We rather do a lot of other things than simply spend time with God and allow his grace to be released in our lives. The Bible says that we are created unto good works. Now get this, the good works did not create us. God's works, or let me get that straight again. We were not created unto good works. The good works did not create us. Good works are to be a byproduct or a product of a result of our getting so full of God's grace that we can't do enough for him. So in other words, being full of God's grace means I can't help but to give him praise. The best way to walk free from condemnation is to enter into fellowship with God through private worship, because intimate fellowship with God fulfills a very important purpose. It's this. It brings us to the place where we can believe that what he has done for us is real and final. Now, that's where a Christian's got to get. You got to get to the place that whatever God says in his word, it's final. It's final. And the only reason we're going to get down to the why is it not happening in your life, we're going to get down to that, to those brass tacks tonight. But right now, I'm just kind of doing a little bit of review here, and I think I've just pretty much finished my review. Remember, the devil knows you very well. He knows about the born-again experience. He knows what buttons to push. He knows how to keep you on a treadmill of works. And it's sad to say that the majority of the church is on a treadmill of works. Okay? So let's get down to and talk about the power that's within us. In Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship." We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, okay, which God has before ordained that we should walk therein. What's the next scripture I gave you? Okay, now we're going to get down to the power that's within us. Go over to Ephesians 1:19, and we're going to talk about the power that works within us. What does Ephesians 1:19 say? It says, "What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power that he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead." I want you to see that that power is in you. That power is in you. Go over to Ephesians 3:20 now. I want you to lay your eyes on these verses. This power is within you. "Now unto him," who is the him? That's going to be God the Father, "that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think." Now get this, "according to the power that works within us." Amen. So there's power that should be working in every born-again believer. Amen. Sad to say we're not. Sad to say we don't have that power working in us. And it's not God's fault, and we're going to get down to it just a second. Go down to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure. What treasure he's talking about? The power of God, the new nature. That new nature is full of power. But we have this treasure, this new nature, this power in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So God is the author, the manufacturer of some power that he has placed on the inside of you. That's what that verse is saying. Verse 8, we are troubled on every side, yet not perplexed. We are, but not in despair, persecuted and not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. How many of you have felt that way before? I felt that way before. But again, this treasure is in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. In other words, we are still wearing these clay pots that Adam gave us. I still have a vessel. I have a body that's not glorified yet. It's the body that Adam gave me when I was born into the world. But my spirit man has been made anew. Amen. Inside these clay pots, we have a nature that enables us to say what we just read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. That we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Now, listen to what Paul was trying to say here. That the treasure that we hold inside of us in our earthen vessels, in these bodies, it causes us to be highly developed of getting up when we get knocked down. Amen. Now, how many of you have been knocked down before by the devil? Huh? How many of you have gone through things that you just felt like your legs have been chopped off from under you? But according to these verses here, Paul says that there's anything that we want to be fully persuaded about is how to get up. Amen. There is no final victory for the devil as long as we refuse to stay down. Amen. It's when you refuse not to get up and do anything about it. It's when you refuse inside of yourself not to say, devil, you're not going to do this to me. I have power on the inside of me. Amen. Now, let me ask you a question. How many people does it take to live in the kind of victory that he's talking about right there? How many people does it take to live in that kind of victory? It takes two. Takes you and the Holy Ghost. Takes you and the Holy Ghost. Now we're going to stop. As we start doing this worship lessons, we're going to start getting more and more into faith. So now I'm going to shift gears. I'm still talking about worship, but now I'm going to spend a lot of time on faith, because you don't understand the reason why your faith is weakened is because you don't spend time in the presence of God. It's okay that you know Mark 11:23. It's good that you know that. But if your heart and your head don't line up together, Mark 11:23 means absolutely nothing to you. You can quote it upside down, back and forth, any kind of way you want, but if it's not connected with your heart and your head, it will not work. And I think that's a lot of people have had that particular problem. Why doesn't Mark 11:23 work? Is the word of God void of any power? No. Jesus said that we can say to any mountain in our lives, Mark 11:23, be cast into the sea, and if we doubt not in our hearts, it will be done. This obviously means this, that the mountain is not our problem. The thing you're facing is not the problem. Oh, boy, I got an audience now. The mountain that you're facing is not your problem. Nor do we lack the power it takes to lift the mountain and throw it into the sea. You have the power. So what's going on here? That divine power has been available to every believer since this dispensation of grace was set into motion by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus your Lord. Mm-hmm. So that power is there. You have the ability to speak to the mountain, and it must obey you. And that scripture, if you turn over there, it's in red. So that means that Jesus said it. Amen. So let me ask you a question. Why aren't we moving our mountains? Now get this. I'm going a little bit further here. Whenever we do what Jesus has told us to do, now get this. He is there doing what he said he would do. Now let me get this straight. Just because you're not doing what you should be doing, he is still going to do what he said he's supposed to do. So he doesn't base what he does on your actions. But if you'll do what he said you're supposed to do, he'll be there to do what he said he would do. Amen. So let me ask you a question. Whose job is it to move the mountain? That's probably why we got it all wrong, folks. It's the power within you that moves the mountain. It's the Holy Ghost in you. It's that power in your new nature that moves the mountain. God moves the mountain. You don't move the mountain. But maybe that's what we're trying to do. Maybe we're trying to move the mountain. Now, when you try to move the mountain, what does it take to move the mountain? W-O-R-K-S. Works. And you're working, trying to move the mountain. You were never told to move the mountain. You were told to speak to the mountain. That's all you were told to do. You were never told them to go move the mountain. But here's what we do. We speak to the mountain, and then we go get us a shovel, or we go, some of us kind of live on money than that. We'll get one of them caterpillars, and we start working on that mountain. In the natural, we're working on that mountain. We're working on that mountain. We're in works. Amen. You don't move the mountain. Now, in essence, he gives you credit for it. Uh-huh. But you don't move the mountain. Jesus and the Holy Ghost in you, they're responsible to move the mountain. And trust me, they got enough, whatever it takes, to move any mountain that you got. They're not going, oh, this is kind of heavy. Oh, man, how'd you come up with this big old thing? No, they're not saying that. They're not saying that. They're saying if you do what he's told you to do, then we'll do what we said we would do. So the problem isn't the lack of power or the need to get God to do something. Get that straight. The problem is not the lack of power and not the need to get God to do something. What God needed to do, he has already done. He has even given us the necessary faith, which is the astounding ability to believe that an immutable God cannot lie, will do what he said he would do in order to activate his power. But that power works through you. So the problem, obviously, it obviously does not lie with God. Amen? Amen. Oh, can I have a better amen? Amen. The problem does not lie with God. I know y'all getting there going, oh, I don't know, Pastor. You take us someplace, you set this up. Well, you set yourself up. The truth is, the problem lies with us. Amen. Everybody say the problem lies with us. Now, it's not a problem that you can't fix. Amen. In fact, you can fix it tonight. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not saying you'll go out and move every mountain just like that, but you're going to have to do some things so that you can begin to get your mind to be connected to your heart, so when you speak to your mountain, that power goes out and does what it's supposed to do. Because it'll do what it says it will do every single time. The truth is, the problem lies with us. Amen? Now, here's what we have to do. Here's what we got to learn. Now, write this down and meditate on this week. We have to get our souls in agreement with what our nature says so we can speak to our mountain without doubt in our hearts. See, our problem is we speak to the mountain and we're going, boy, I sure hope that thing moves. Gosh, I hope that thing moves. Now, when you say something like that, that doesn't negate your faith. Doubt doesn't happen until you change courses. Just because I get a thought, Brother Hagin said it this way, birds can fly over my head, but I'm not going to let them make a nest there. Doubts can come to my head. I just don't want to take the doubt. I don't want to act on the doubt. And most Christians, because you pray, well, let me ask you this. How many of you can remember the day you got born again? You can remember it. Do you remember the time you left the person that got you saved and you walked to your car or you walked off and you heard this voice? How do you know you saved? You ain't really saved. Can you prove you're saved? How can you prove to somebody you're born again? How do you know you're born again? Can anybody tell me? Yes. By the word of God. The word of God says in Romans 10, 8, and 9, if I will confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, I shall be saved. But let me tell you this. There are people that walk around after quoting that prayer and they doubt, am I really saved? They begin to get into works. They begin to ask themselves, well, if I'm saved, why do I still do the things that I'm doing? Huh? You see, this is why Jesus said, go ye into all the world and make new converts. That's not what he said. He said, go ye into all the world and make disciples, teaching them everything I've commanded you to do. Now, I'm teaching a lot of my one-on-one students the 50 commandments of Jesus, not because they need it, but because you just need to put your eyes on it and to see what he commanded you to do. And I found about 50 of them. I think some people may have found 60 or whatever, but there's probably a good 50 what I call basic. And everybody in here, you ought to go over them. And you're already doing them. The thing is, you just ought to remind yourself that there's some things that Jesus commanded us. Now, if you're a disciple, you should be doing those commandments. Can I give you one of the biggest ones that you'll probably have to face? Forgiveness. There's no compromise on that. The kingdom of God, ladies and gentlemen, is a theocracy. Heaven is a theocracy. The kingdom of God is a theocracy. Do you know what I mean by that? Mm-hmm. No. It's not negotiable. Mm-hmm. There's no negotiation. Right. Now here on the earth, it's a democracy, mm-hmm. Especially in this country. We can, it's by vote and what we want to do. But in the kingdom of God, the word of God is immutable. It cannot and will not change. Mm-hmm. It's a theocracy. Okay, so the thing is that you have done, if you will say to in your heart, if you will say with your mouth and believe in your heart, you have done that before, and nothing could stop you from being born again. Mm-hmm. The only thing that could happen is that the devil could come with his menacing demons and begin to tell you, you're not born again. You're not born again. How are you born again? You're not born again. And when you know how I solved that question? You didn't ask me this until I got born again. You've never asked me that question. Now, why are you asking me that question now? I must be born again. Amen. And that's how I shut him up. Amen. He never told me you weren't born again until that time. And then he came and kept telling me, you're not born again. How are you born again? You're not born again. Why are you now bringing this up, Mr. Devil? Because, obviously, I must be born again. Amen. See, when the enemy starts talking like that, just know he has no power. He has power. His greatest power is deception. His greatest power is condemnation. His greatest power is persuasion. This is why people do things sometimes they really don't want to do in their hearts, but the enemy persuades them to do them. Okay? So we have to get our souls in agreement with what our new nature says so we can speak to our mountains without doubt in our hearts. Now, in this Bible study, we don't tell you to do something unless we teach you how to do it. So get ready. We're going to teach you how to do it. So let's go over to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. Here's where worship plays an important part in your faith. In Ephesians 5:19, it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things. Now, am I to thank God for the cancer he put on me? No, go back up here. It's, well, in verse 18, it says, be not unwise what the will of the Lord is. So we're talking about the will of God. So God's will is not to give you cancer. Amen. It says, and giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's what we need to get a revelation of. That the power that lies within us at our disposal, once you get your soul lined up with it, your new nature is virtually unstoppable. Amen. Unstoppable. Do you now, how many of you heard this when you were, if you were in a, grew up in the kind of the Pentecostal circle? Your mind is a terrible thing. Your mind is a devil workshop. Anybody ever heard that? Boy, I did. I heard that. You know, your mind is a terror. I mean, but the thing is, what they didn't realize is we have to renew our minds. That's what they didn't add to that. Your unrenewed mind is a terrible thing, but your renewed mind is a powerful thing. And when I say have your new nature, it must be reconciled. Your renewed mind must be reconciled to your new nature. Your new nature will not sin. Your new nature will not lie. Your new nature will not doubt. Your new nature believes every word of God. It has no problem in doing that. The problem lies is when you try to work out of your unrenewed mind to serve God. And that's when you go awry. We have to understand our minds must be renewed. Why? That's the only thing that your new nature is going to connect with. So that whenever your renewed mind connects with your new nature, that's when your mountains will start to move. Amen? Amen? So, the more you obey this scripture, the more your soul will begin to work in unison with your born-again spirit. Remember, here is the scripture. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, do you know why he said that? Because most of us, here's what we're doing. I can't believe I'm about to be laid off. I've been here 20 years, and they're about to give me a pink slip. And anybody said any word about giving you a pink slip? My car, it's the moment I get it paid, all of a sudden, it starts to fall apart. Don't shout me down now.
Yes, sir, you're right.
You say, oh, I'm just dying to get there. I'm so sick of you. Don't shout me down now. See, that's your unrenewed mind. That's not your renewed mind.
Amen.
Your renewed mind ain't sick of nobody. Your renewed mind says this, I love everybody.
Amen.
I can't hate a soul because Jesus loves them all. Amen. And if Jesus loves them, I got to love you too.
Amen.
Even if you stab me in the back, I still got to love you.
Amen.
So remember, one of the most important things to in lining up your soul, your renewed mind, with your new nature is private worship. One night I'm going to talk on this real soon, in spirit and in truth. In spirit is a positional truth. Never let anybody tell you when you go, Father, I give you praise. Never let anybody tell you you're not in his presence. You are.
Amen.
Spiritual fruit. Spirit, positional truth. You are in his presence. The moment you say, I love you, he's like, I love you too. Now, sometimes you can't hear him because you're still running in your unrenewed mind. One morning, he called me sweetie. I said, excuse me? Sweetie? I mean, it threw me. I ain't never been called sweetie. But when he called me sweetie, I was like, look at it now. I said, okay, God, I get it. See, my unrenewed mind had a hard time dealing with that. But boy, as I begin to go over it, I'm going, that's my renewed mind. Yes, he called me sweetie. He can call me anything he wants to call me. I really don't care. He can call me honeydew, honey, or whatever. Okay, it's all good to me. Now get this. Your soul wasn't suddenly transformed the moment you stood up and said, I have decided to completely change. You have to make it your highest priority to offer your soul on the altar of God's word in order to assimilate everything God has word. The best way to do that is through private worship.
Amen.
It's the easiest way.
Amen.
That's why Paul called it more of a transformation process in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Does anybody know what that says? Be not conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the what? The renewing of your mind. So your mind must be renewed. Now, part of getting your mind renewed is not going out, contrary to what we've been taught in many circles. I'm not against any of this, and that is quoting certain scriptures. And just because you've been able to commit them to memory, it doesn't mean your mind is renewed. Your mind is renewed when you operate out of where what those verses say. For example, somebody comes up to you, slaps you across the face, and says, you're about the ugliest thing I've ever said, and your mother dresses you funny. And instead of you getting back and going, I can't believe that guy said it to me. I thought he loved me. I thought he was a friend of mine, yada, yada, yada. Instead, you and in your renewed mind, you've got to go, I love you.
Amen.
I just love you. You old sweet thing, you. I love you. I had a friend of mine, I think it was this morning, I was at a meeting, and he said that he went to a restaurant, and he was praying over his food. Well, the family that was sitting at the same table mocked him the whole time he was there. Well, what he did was he kind of shot some zingers back at the guy and kept talking about his political party and what he believed in and so on and so forth. And they kind of went, he wasn't talking to the guy, but he was talking to his family kind of loud so the guy could hear him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, you know what? I said, now, that's what we want to do. But you know what we should do? Mm-hmm. You should have gotten quiet and said, now, I bind the spirit behind
Amen.
That. See, that's your renewed mind thinking there.
Amen.
I bind the spirit behind that. He doesn't understand. It's like last week when I talked about Gloria Copeland, when she was on, they had her on television and saying that Jesus is your flu shot. And there were those that heard that and went, oh, no. And one doctor came on, or I guess it was a doctor who said, you know, to say that you're healed and you don't need a flu shot in the name of God. Well, see, these folks don't have renewed minds. They have unrenewed minds. They don't think like we think. And I'm going to tell you this. Once you start thinking in a renewed mind state, there'll be some Christians that won't like you. Because they'll start talking death, the flu, and how the inevitable is coming, and you'll stand up and go, not so. And you'll speak out of faith, and they won't like that. You know, I've always said this. You know, Loranda just lost her father, but I've always said this. Death brings out the worst in a lot of people. Boy, I tell you, I've been around some family members when their mama died, and I mean, it was on. It was on. I mean, some of the people you think are the most loving and kind, boy, the head turns around, it spins around backwards. The hair flies off. I mean, it gets ugly, man. Why? Because they are operating in an unrenewed mind.
Amen.
And when you're sitting there going, for example, you know, in my family, I may have said, man, mom's running around in heaven this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, excuse me?
Mm-hmm.
I said, oh, yeah, man. She met Jesus this morning.
Amen.
I said, she's in her mansion now, man.
Amen.
You know, somebody said, well, why is there no ranking in heaven? Because everything you want is all that you need. You see, you won't look at my mansion and go, wow. Or I won't look at your mansion and go, man, you got a bad crib over there, Jack. No, 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 no. Now I may come to your house and go, I love that waterfall you got.
Amen.
Man, I love that. I said, but you know what? I love what he did for me and mine better than that. Why? Because he's going to make my mansion to meet my needs. He's going to make your mansion to meet your needs. He knows you. And he's going to make your mansion with the stuff in it that you like. And he's going to make my mansion with the stuff that me and my wife likes. You know what I'm saying? Whatever I want, it's going to be in there. So therefore, I'm not going to want your mansion. I don't want your mansion because I like my mansion because he made it specifically for me. Amen. I don't know how I got off on that. Glory to God. Let's talk about the transformation process. The transformation process begins with a new birth, but it continues with the renewing of your mind. You see, your soul, now get this. Now you get hold of this and never again say your soul has got no value in the kingdom of God. Your soul has so much power that it will transform you to whatever you subject it to the most. Wow. Now, for whatever reason this week, he had me read the verse in James that talks about a bitter and sweet brook. And what he was telling me is, he said, son, there's no such thing as a bitter and sweet brook. You either are a bitter brook or you are a sweet brook. Now, when you get born again, you should get your mind renewed so you can get rid of the bitterness in your heart. Because you really should be a sweet brook. You should have no bitterness in you at all. So in my worship time, what I'm telling him is, and I'm obviously in spirit, I can worship him in his presence. But the exchange part is, I said, take every bitterness in me out. Amen. Take every bit of it out. Amen. When you find it, get rid of it. Amen. And I said, now, if I hold on to it, let me know, because I want to get rid of it. Because all I want to be is a sweet brook. Amen. That brings out sweet water. Amen. See, when I drink from the well of worship in his presence, I don't want any bitterness to be in my heart at all toward anybody, toward anything. Amen. So God, get rid of it. Amen. Get rid of it. Now that's how we ought to, that's what worship means. You find out where you're having the biggest struggle, and you begin to go to God. God, you know I got no business with that. But I worship you and praise you that you've already given me a way of escape. You didn't give me that. That's what the world gave me. And in place you gave me this, I call forth that and I give you praise for it. That's the truth part. See, quit calling yourself, you know what? I'm so sick. I'm so sick and tired. I'm so aggravated. Those things are not doing you a bit of good. They are your weights that are holding you back. You need to let go of that stuff. And again, you know where it lies? Right up here. It lies in your soul. It's not in your spirit. Your spirit has already been changed if you're born again. Now, if you're not born again, stand up and we'll get that fixed in about 5 seconds. Did everybody hear that I can think of? You're born again. So the thing is, you got to get your mind renewed. And your mind renewed, you know, what he's telling me right now is when you drive down a freeway and somebody cuts you off, you don't curse. Although you feel like cursing, you don't curse. Now, you know why you feel like cursing? Because there's a devil in that cab of your car going, you ought to just cuss them out. Sorry, you know what? And you've been inclined to listen to that voice. I've been inclined to listen to it. But the renewed mind says, shut up.
Amen.
Not listening to you tonight. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to listen to that. Do you know how many times I've gotten to come in and teach this class, and I'm going, man, I'll show out to call in sick. Just call Cheryl up and tell her to preach. Call Vivian up, tell her to preach. Just call somebody, call, let them preach. I just want to call in sick.
Amen.
Now, do you think that was my thought? It's not my thought. It's not my thought. I know where that's coming from. Now, I'm using those little examples. I want you to realize you get talked in the stuff every single day, and you think they're your thoughts. How many of you have ever been in church or been in a meeting like this and the most vile thoughts come across your mind? It wasn't you. It wasn't you. That was your unrenewed mind. And the devil is using that unrenewed mind to manipulate you. And if you'll learn to turn that thing off, if you'll learn to tell it to shut up and then find the Spirit of God that's in you, he'll help you find and renew your mind. But remember, the surest, safest, easiest, most efficient way to do it is to just spend time, Father, I give you praise. Amen. Father, those evil thoughts are not mine. Amen. So I worship you. You haven't given me that kind of mind. You told me that my mind should be renewed. So you go to the verse over in Philippians. Whatsoever things that are good, whatsoever things that are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, there be any praise, think on these things. And you begin to tell the Lord, Father, I believe I received that kind of mind.
Amen.
I give you praise for it. I worship you for it. I magnify you. You're molding me, shaping me, transforming me, fashioning me into that kind of mind.
Amen.
And if you'll start praying that way and worshiping God that way, you'll quit spending time with your unrenewed mind.
Wow.
It's just that simple.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one time, Brother Copeland, the devil did something bad to him. And Brother Copeland says, God, I want to get back at him, God.
Mm-hmm.
And so God said, well, do what you do to me. And Brother Copeland says, well, what is that? Just don't do what he says. Makes sense to me. Whatever devil tells you to do, just ignore it.
Amen.
And said, no, I'm not going to do that. It tells you to get mad at somebody because you think they've been gossip. Just don't get mad at them.
Amen.
Just love on them.
Amen.
What kind of church would we be if we were to start walking like that? Huh?
Wow.
The devil wouldn't have a foothold on us in any kind of way. The power of God would be able to come out of us. We could go to a prison and empty the thing out. We can go to a hospital and clean it out. And they'll throw us out with it, but that's okay. The power of God is working. We just walk down to the next one and clean that one out.
Amen.
They'll have signs up. When you see these folks coming, shut your doors, lock your doors, because they're going to clean out the hospital. And that should be our quest. Amen? You see, your soul has so much power that it will transform you to whatever you subject it to the most. If you'll sit there and say, Father, I give you praise. I'm full of love. The love of God is in my heart. I give you praise. Eventually, that's what you want to become. That's why you cannot keep worshiping God and calling something done without your circumstances eventually lining up with the Word of God. What Jesus called believing in your heart eventually will take place. And when it does, God steps in and moves your mountain. You don't move your mountain. God moves your mountain. Quit trying to move your mountain. When you pray, submit yourself unto God. Resist the devil. What do I mean by that? Every time he tells you, you ought to go do this. You ought to go do that. You ought to go do that. If it's not your renewed mind telling you to do it, don't do it. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, don't do it. Just don't do it. Let me ask you a question. So you say, God, I want to be healed. God, I believe I'm healed from this disease in Jesus' name. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you throw away your medication?
No.
Only if God tells you to.
There you go.
But more than likely, he's not going to tell you to do that. Not in the state that you're in,
mm-hmm.
because you got to grow some.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to come and be developed. Your mind's got to be renewed.
Yeah.
You know, at Bible colleges, they teach the healing message, and guys will say, I believe my eyes, I have 20/20 vision, and they'll go out with a hammer and break their glasses and think, but what is that? See, breaking the glasses works. There's no faith in that. See, now if you were told by God to take the glasses off. Now, here's what will happen. You believe you receive healing in your eyesight. One day you'll go, man, these things are giving me a headache. Well, you're now you're healed.
Amen.
You're healed. Now take them off. But don't run around here from this Bible study without your glasses on, Lewis, because I don't want you running into me. I don't want that. Okay? God will heal you. But you got to stand before him every day and say, by your stripes, I am healed. And that pain goes, ah! And you go, by his stripes, I am healed. And you got to keep praise and worshiping God like that. It says singing psalms and hymns and making melody in your heart. God, I give you praise. I'm healed. I'm healed from head to toe. I worship you. Now, after you say that, guess what your unrenewed mind is going to say? Check and see if you're healed. One day, I'm using Brother Copeland. I don't know why. One day, Brother Copeland had moved into his new home, another home, and he came home late at night, and he was downstairs reading, and he had a big old ottoman. Y'all know what an ottoman is, right? And so when he was leaving to go out to the bedroom, man, he kicked that ottoman, and he heard his little toe snap. And he just said, by his stripes, I'm healed. Limped up to his bedroom, got in the bed, was able to go to sleep finally, and he woke up, and the devil says, look at your toe. He says, I ain't going to do it.
Amen.
He says, I ain't going to do it. He said, it's black and blue. Brother Copeland said, I don't care. I know a lot of my friends, they got black toes. I ain't going to look at it. I'm not looking at my toe. So he went and took a shower. He said he was trying to put the sock on that thing. He said he wouldn't look at it. He just put it on best he could. And he walked downstairs. He said, now, Gloria, last night I kicked that ottoman and broke my toe, but I believe by his stripes I'm healed. She said, I believe it too. He got into his car, had to go to an appointment. He went to the appointment, and he was walking, limping. And the lady goes, Brother Copeland, you okay? Are you hurt anywhere? He goes, by his stripes, I'm healed, and went off into a 5-minute tirade. You have to understand how sorry Brother Copeland is. He don't give in to nothing.
Amen.
He said by the time he went to the next appointment in that office, he put his foot down, and there was no pain.
Wow.
There was no pain. I could give you example after example with a guy named Dave Roberson. He's working with a guy named, what was that guy's name? The lumberjack. Do you remember him? I forget his name, but they were out when Dave first started the ministry. Before he started the ministry, he used to be what they call a faller. He would cut trees. Well, they had this one tree that if you cut it, it could hurt you. It's called not a barber chair, but it's a kind of tree that it grows up and it grows twisted. So when you cut it, it just goes out of control. Well, this guy cut one of those trees and it broke his back. And he had started listening to some Ken Copeland tapes, and he was just beginning to understand the faith message. And this guy, he broke his back, and they tried to get him to go to the hospital. He says, no, by his stripes I am healed. And he left that timber company. He went home, and he began to just give God praise and stay in God's face and declare that he was healed. The next morning, he came to work, and they said, man, you can't work. He says, I'm going to work. I'm healed. He said, well, pick up your saw. He couldn't pick it up. He had to drag his saw behind him. He said, but I'm going out here. Go to work. They said, listen, you got to sign a waiver. We're not going to be responsible for you because you're gonna kill yourself. So they went to the place where they started logging. And, man, they started them saws up, and they're revving them up. And he could barely get his started. I mean, he could hardly pull it. He got that thing started, man, and he put that chainsaw on that tree, and the thing, he just couldn't hold it up. It just fell back to the ground. The rest of them, they were cutting down trees, and they just left him behind. They said about a half hour later, here come the guy with the chainsaw, and he was roaring. And he was cutting everything he could find. And it was a guy that broke his back. He had been healed.
Amen.
See, we would be surprised if our unrenewed minds if our renewed minds would ever connect with our new nature, you would see that that's where God says, and absolutely nothing will be impossible unto you.
Amen.
Why do I teach so much on private worship? Because I want us to get to a place where there'll be a people that they'll begin to worship God, and absolutely nothing will be impossible unto you.
Amen.
Nothing.
Hallelujah.
Absolutely nothing. And it's about time we get there.
Amen.
Glory to God. Let me finish this up. I'm going to finish up in Hebrews, I think Hebrews chapter 1. Let me say this. God's power has never been broken. It has never broken down. He doesn't choose to delay the answer. He hates to see even one soul go to hell during the process that we are perfecting ourselves. He hates it more than you think. Hell isn't less hot for a person who goes there while still developing spiritually. So in other words, when people say, well, God sometimes says yes, sometimes says maybe, sometimes says no, that's not who God is.
Amen.
So how do we get God to move when we don't have to worry about getting God to move? Our job is to walk in worship until we have reached that place where we believe he will move.
Amen.
And you stay in worship until you believe he's going to move.
Amen.
And no matter what anybody tells you, you won't listen to it. At that time, your mind has been renewed.
Amen.
Now, it may need to be renewed in other areas, but it's been renewed in that area.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, your treasure is hidden within an earthen vessel to you by the first man, Adam. You have to keep that vessel under subjection and make it believe.
Mm-hmm.
This body that you have, it doesn't want to believe. The outer man has been trained in the sense realm to only believe what it can see, hear, or feel. But now you belong to another kingdom. It's a theocracy. You must refuse to obey your outer man no matter what it's trying to tell you. From this point on, he must obey you. Your outer man must obey you. Is there a fight connected to that decision? Yes, there is. But when you understand how your soul works, you can begin to offer it up on the altar of God's word. Eventually, it'll come in line just because that's the way your soul works. It'll come in line with whatever you subjected to the longest. If you want to subject it to 10 hours of silliness, of watching whatever movie you want to watch every day, that's what it'll be subjected to. But if you're subjected to the word of God every day,
mm-hmm.
I am a child of God.
Amen.
I have the power of God flowing in me. Greater is he that's in me. And not say that, but begin to worship that. You'll begin to become that.
Amen.
You can't spend hours in God's presence worshiping him, calling something done, without your soul eventually lining up and believing what God has said. That's the way to devastate disease in your body. That's the way to set people free.
Amen.
I'm telling you for a fact, your soul has a capacity for detail. That, what would that capacity do for you if you put it to work? You'll find out by subjecting yourself to the truth, by staying in God's presence. How do you stay in God's presence? It's a positional truth that when I worship God, I'm in his presence.
Amen.
Now, I know they've taught you that that's not true. I know what they taught you, that just because you said, I love you, he's not there. You got to keep working until he comes. He is already there.
Amen.
He's in me. The greatest mystery of all is Christ in me, the hope of glory. Well, if he's in me, then when I worship him, he must be receiving my praise.
Amen.
I don't have to wait till he comes. He's already there.
Amen.
It's the biggest lie from hell to get you to think he's not coming today. He comes every time.
Amen.
And he doesn't come. He's already there. He's already there. He doesn't take a trip. He's already there. So let me ask you this. When you have a little tirade and get mad and say things you ain't got the business saying, where do you think he is? He's already there. I'm sorry. I just got to preach the truth. After a while, when you begin to do this, you'll think that you're moving God, but you're not. Nobody moves God. No, you're just moving yourself into a place where God's move. The positional truth, God's presence, is already there. And through the ages, there have been individuals who have stepped up into God's truth and made it work, changing the outcome of a nation or causing the reformation of an entire generation to come. Go over to Hebrews chapter 11 as I close. It says that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders attain a good report. Through faith, we understand that the words were framed by the word of God. Now, when we look at these verses, we think that this verse is talking about God looked out on the deep, the dark. Go back and look at the verse. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Here is the key verse. For by it the elders obtained a good report. God's not mentioned anywhere there. He's not talking about God's faith. He's talking about your faith. He's talking about you changing your world. See, the thing is this. Abraham, I'm going to teach on this one day. The Bible says that it was Abraham. Well, God, because Abraham believed, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, here's what I found out in my studying. Abraham was the only Old Testament saint that could give God praise. The only one. You know why? Because it was counted to him as righteousness. His belief, it was counted to him as righteousness. The Bible says in Romans 4:17, it says that Abraham was fully persuaded. How? Giving glory to God. He was the only one. Now, David was a worshiper, but that the Bible never says it about David. It says it about one man, the father of our faith. Isn't that coincidental? The father of our faith, the way his faith was developed, I believe what those verses are saying is Abraham, when Sarah's womb was dead, Abraham began to go, I give you praise. I worship you. You're not a man that you can lie. You've exalted your word above your own name. If you can do this and do that, then you can bring Sarah's womb to life again. In the book of Romans, it said this. It says that God is the one that calls things that be not as though they were. Amen. Now, when you call something that be not as though they were, basically what you're saying is the same thing that God was talking about you. He quickens you on the inside to get you born again. He's able to take you from spiritual death to a spiritual life. That had never happened before. Now, Abraham was not a born-again believer. Abraham did not have a born-again spirit. But Abraham, the Bible says, it was accounted to him for righteousness' sake. And Abraham was one of the few saints in the Old Testament that I have studied that was able to give God praise. The rest of them, they could not do it. You and I in the New Testament, the only reason why we can give God praise the way we do is why? You have the equipment. You have a new nature. You can worship God out of your spirit, which is where God lives and resides. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, so in Hebrews chapter 11, it's not talking about God call these things into existence. It's talking about that hall of fame of faith. It's how they use their faith. Now, let me say this by faith. Faith is not a garden tool that you use whenever you're going through a problem. Faith is a lifestyle. You live faith. The just shall live by faith. It's not the just shall use faith when they have problems. That's how you read those verses. But the just shall live by faith. It means that I live by faith in the smallest of details. That's how my mind gets renewed to trust and believe God. The bottom line is this. When I first started driving over here to Cool Ministry, it used to take me an hour to hour and 15 minutes. Now it takes me about 35, 40 minutes. What's the difference? I ain't driving in the flesh anymore. I'm not running into all that traffic anymore. Why? Because I'm allowing my faith. It does. Again, we should live by faith. I could go on up from example to example, but the bottom line is what these men did in the book of Hebrews, the Hall of Fame, they took their faith, now get this, and they changed their world. What in your world needs to be changed? Got a bill you can't pay? Doctor tell you got something in your body that needs to go? Got a loved one that just doesn't want to do right? Well, you do more harm by going saying these things about the loved one. Sorry, no good for nothing. Heathen. He's gonna split hell wide open. That's what we say now. Come on now. I can't believe he acts that way. Selfish. All you're doing is you're giving the devil more fodder to go to use against that person. What you should be saying is this: Father, you said that my household, my entire household, shall be saved. Amen. And I believe I've got enough faith to see that old rascal saved. Amen. And born again and filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's how we should be confessing over our loved ones. Let's say you've got a situation that seems impossible. Stay. Exercise, use your faith. What am I saying? Spend time and worship God until God begins to build and develop your faith to where you can believe that what he said about your problem is going to happen. Amen. Why? Because you're trying to believe God with your unrenewed mind, and it's never going to happen. Amen. You've got to allow yourself to spend time in God's presence in worship. And allow your faith level, in other words, your faith level develops this way: when your renewed mind matches your new nature. And you allow God to convince you that everything he said in his word is true. So when someone says, man, I think I'm going to file bankruptcy because I got so much debt I can't get out of it. And you go, well, you know, I guess it's what I'd do if I was you. Are you using your faith? You're not using your faith. You're using the sense and the logic of the world. See, we've got to learn that we have been so trained by the world, it just comes naturally. Let me wrap up here. What these verses are saying is this: you have the potential to change all of your natural circumstances, every single one of them. For the things that appear in this natural realm are what? They're not eternal. They're only temporal. They're temporary and subject to change. I wish I'd have bought the verse of that, but I didn't. God is telling you, he who comes to me and believes that I am has the ability to bring about the needed change. For that which is temporary must give way to that which is eternal. In other words, when I begin to give God praise every single day, not because I have to, but because I want to, and I begin to worship him and magnify him, and I'm not going, God, it's been 3 days and you ain't moved yet. No, what your problem is, your mind is not connected to your heart yet. Because when your mind connects to your heart, then you'll listen to this now. You will enter into your rest. Faith has a rest.
Amen.
And when you know that you know, you'll enter into a rest.
Amen.
And you'll never fret it again. And all you'll wait for is the answer to show up on your death one day. And when it gets there, you know what you'll say? Huh. Well, I knew it was coming. Thank God it's here.
Amen.
Now, what's next? And you'll go after something else. You won't go, boy, it's taking so long. No, if you talk like that, your mind has not been renewed. You're still operating out of your unrenewed mind. Your unrenewed mind enters into a thing called rest. Are you getting something tonight? Glory to God. He who comes to me and believes that I am has the ability to bring about the needed change. For that which is temporary must give way to that which is eternal. You might say, but I have a debt that I cannot overcome, and I'm on the edge of bankruptcy. Or you might say, my body has declared war on me. Welcome to the club. You see, men and women who do mighty exploits in his name are not exempt from these kinds of problems. They just choose to rise above the mess. They don't sit around the rest of their lives and feel sorry for themselves. Instead, they put away such childish things and move on to spiritual maturity. So, what about you? Are you going to line up with your soul, with what your spirit believes about the word, or are you going to allow the Holy Spirit to put you through his school? That's private worship. If your answer is yes, you will follow through with determined action, and I guarantee you this, the day will come when your soul will fully cooperate with your new nature, and you will reach a place of peace where mountains move and condemnation is a thing of your past. Glory to God. You don't have to be condemned. If you're condemned by anything, you get into your worship closet and you stay there until the condemnation goes. Because you're not walking according to the law of the spirit of life. You're walking accordingly to the law of sin and death. And the law of sin and death gives you what? Sin and death. It produces sin and death. What I'm saying by that is you start producing works. Works. Why do you think we don't take up an offering traditionally in this place? Because we exercise our faith. We're not looking for somebody. We're not looking for big donors. We're not looking for those things. Although that would be nice to be able to go, you know what? We got $1,000 coming tonight. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. No! I got God coming in the house tonight. He'll answer my financial needs. That's who's here. You see, the thing is, I'll worship him until I get a revelation that he is my supplier. He's my supplier. He is my provider. He provides for me. He provides for my family. And I'll worship him until I am convinced that he will provide. And when I get to that place, I'll enter into a rest. And I won't worry about the bill that's coming in the mail. Come on, somebody. Amen. It's good preaching. Yes, sir. I'm telling you, this stuff will change your life. Yes, worship will change your life for the better. Amen. You won't be the same person any longer. You won't be afraid of what's going to happen tomorrow. Mm-hmm. When tomorrow comes and it's knocks on your door and there's something that you don't want or desire, just take it through the throne of grace and mercy and say, God, show me what to do with this. Amen. And if you'll sing psalms and hymns and make melody into your heart, in your heart as unto the Lord. Oh, man. Wow. This is why I'm constantly saying, I thank God you've turned every one of my sin, sicknesses, and diseases, you poured them out on Jesus at the cross. Amen. So I ain't got a problem with any of that. Hallelujah. And my unrenewed mind needs to shut up. Amen. And my renewed mind begins to say, that is totally correct. Amen. And when that happens, every sickness and every disease, the flu will not be able to knock on my door. Amen. It may knock on my door, but faith will answer and says, we're not accepting the delivery. Glory. That's how it works. Yes.
You were talking about the scripture. While we look at not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are seen are eternal. The 2 Corinthians 4:18.
The things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are unseen are permanent, and they are not subject to change.
Amen.
Your faith won't change.
Amen.
Your faith will change the things that you see, because that's not what your reality needs to be.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Father, we give you praise for your word tonight. We thank you for it. We honor you for it. We give you praise. Well, I don't know about y'all, but I preached myself happy.
Amen.